afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PION AG conference call on the remimazolam headline data of phase III study, hosted by Dr. Wolfgang Soehngen and Dr. Jürgen Rath. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I am now handing you over to Ralf Penner to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for PION's call on the U.S. phase III colonoscopy headline data. My name is Ralf Penner. I'm PION's Director of Investor Relations, and I'll be moderating today's call. I am joined by Wolfgang Soehngen, PION CEO, as well as Dr. Jürgen Rath, our COO, and Abdelghany Omari, our CFO. Within the next half hour, we are going to present and explain the U.S. phase III colonoscopy headline data. After the initial presentation, we'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details were also given in today's press release. If you have not already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded, and the replay will be available later today, and the replay will be posted on our website. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that actual results may vary from PION's current anticipations. I would also like to refer to the disclaimer included in the presentation slides. After these initial remarks, I believe that we should start right on now with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Well, thank you very much to everyone who signed on at this moment in time. Before we get started, I would like to take a few seconds to, first of all, thank the PION team for the incredible amount of work that they did over the last couple of weeks, together also with our external experts, in order to be able to present the data that we now will discuss and that we were able to conclude on finalizing all QA checks yesterday afternoon. Before we go and before the data will be presented by Jürgen, I just would like to give you a brief overview on the company. For those who are not familiar with PION, we are a specialty pharma company focusing on anesthesia products. Remimazolam is our lead candidate, which is in phase III development for two indications. We already have six regional partnerships for remimazolam: China, South Korea, Canada, Russia, Turkey, and the MENA region. We are very virtually organized with current 39 people on board. We are headquartered in Aachen, Germany, and we have sites in Cambridge, UK, and New Jersey. We had 25.5 million cash at hand at the end of the first quarter, and this is sufficient to complete the currently ongoing phase III program in the US. I assume that I don't need to nominate the members of the supervisory board and the management team, and rather go quickly on the current market situation. The share price this morning was €2, leading to a market cap of approximately 100 million. That's how much we can. We are listed in Frankfurt since 2005, and we have a pretty good liquidity. On the next slide is our pipeline overview, which is really focusing on one product, remimazolam. However, this product has the potential for three different indications: general anesthesia, procedural sedation, and ICU sedation, each of which we assume has a peak sales potential of $500 million globally. In Japan, we already have completed phase III in general anesthesia. In Europe, we have discontinued a phase III study due to slow recruitment earlier this year. In procedural sedation, as we will hear in a couple of minutes, we have completed very successfully the first pivotal phase 3 study in colonoscopy patients, and in ICU sedation, Ono, our previous partner, discontinued a phase 2 study in 2013. GGF2 and M6G are part of our portfolio, but they're not the value drivers going forward, and therefore we focus our discussion always on remimazolam. And I would now like to hand over to Jürgen to go into the details of what is remimazolam and what have we seen and what can we disclose of the phase 3 data.
Good afternoon and hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Wolfgang. What I will try to do in the next 10 minutes or so is take you through what we believe very exciting news that we have on headline data from our U.S. pivotal trial in procedural sedation for colonoscopy. But because before I do this, I quickly reintroduce you to the molecule. Remimazolam is a member of the benzodiazepine family. One of the great features of the drug is that it's rapidly metabolized by tissue esterases and therefore is ultra-short-acting intravenous benzodiazepine used for sedation as, potentially as anesthetic. It can be reversed with flumazenil, and from our studies that we've conducted so far, we have seen that it is efficacious and safe, that it has a rapid onset and offset of action, that it reaches appropriate depths of sedation within the study populations. And one feature of the product is good hemodynamic stability, leading to less drops in blood pressure than you can see in other study populations. We're currently pursuing the development of the drug with a focus on procedural sedation. A program in general anesthesia has been concluded in Japan and is under further evaluation in Europe. And I will focus now completely on the procedural sedation part, in which we have just finalized our first phase 3 program. The first phase 3 study for procedural sedation is in colonoscopy. We have completed this. Further elements of our clinical development program in the U.S. consist of a second trial. It's again in procedural sedation, but in this time for patients undergoing bronchoscopy. And we're also conducting a trial in high-risk patients, so-called ALGA 3 and 4 classified patients undergoing colonoscopies. Both of the last mentioned trials we expect to complete this year, potentially early next year as far as the bronchoscopy trial is concerned. I now zoom in on the phase 3 colonoscopy study, and please allow me to first introduce you to the protocol of this trial. The goal of the trial was to evaluate the efficacy and safety of remimazolam in a prospective, double-blind, randomized, controlled, multi-center study as compared to placebo with midazolam rescue medication. It was a randomized additional but open-label arm. There was a protocol for the usage of midazolam. We are evaluating patients that undergo colonoscopy for diagnostic and therapeutic reasons. The primary outcome measure was the success of the procedure measured through three components: the completion of the colonoscopy, and that there was no requirement for alternative sedative intervention, and no requirement for more than 5 top-ups of study medications within a 15-minute period. Secondary endpoints focus very much on timings, and I will not go through the complete list of this, focused on cognitive functioning and to a lesser extent on some pharmacokinetic further examinations in patients below 65 years of age. The trial overview gives you an idea of the first part of my presentation. What you see here is the trial design, the flow charts in which patients went through the comparison. What I show you is the top-line comparison of remimazolam against placebo. This trial was required by the FDA and constitutes a key cornerstone in the regulatory dossier we plan to submit by the end of the year. I now take you through the results of the study. We have enrolled 461 patients, 298 on Remimazolam, 60 on placebo. It was a multi-center study with 13 sites in the U.S., of which 12 enrolled patients. The first patient was enrolled in March 31st, 2015. The last patient out was on the 11th of April of this year. Before I take you through the result, I should mention that the demographics were well distributed. There was an equal distribution according to age, sex, gender, and basic vital parameters throughout the different arms of the trials, so that from a randomization standpoint and validity standpoint of the data, we can be confident that what we are showing is completely comparable study populations in all arms. And here's now the result. What you see is the success of the procedure of the intention to treat population. Remimazolam showed here a 91.3 success rate of the procedure, whereas placebo only 5.0. This result is of very high statistical significance. It represents the top line data. Please let me repeat what success of procedure means. It meant the completion of the colonoscopy procedure and the fact that no requirement was there for a rescue sedative medication, and in addition to this, that no more than 5 doses of steady medications were given within a 15-minute window. With respect to this primary key endpoint, comparing Remimazolam to placebo, keep in mind, it's not only placebo, it's placebo plus midazolam rescue medication. Remimazolam showed this impressive statistical result, 91.3 versus 5%. Trying to summarize the primary outcome measure, the success of the procedure in the IIT population means that on the Remimazolam side, 91.3% of the patients reached the endpoint, on the placebo side, only 5%. Please allow me to make one technical comment. The question will automatically pop up, why is it an inverted comma only 91.3% and not 100%? This is, as it is typical for these trials, and it is defined in these trials, the intention to treat population. Intention to treat population means any patient will be randomization will be included in the statistical analysis. Also in this trial, like in many other trials, between the randomization and the initiation of the trials, there were patients that for whatever reason withdrew from the trial or did not further continue the procedure. These patients are called as, counted as treatment failure, as it is typical in these kind of statistical analysis. So that the result of 91.3 can be considered as a very good result when it gets to the ITT population. We also looked at the secondary endpoints in the study setting. The Remimazolam arm had a mean time from start of study medication to start of procedure of 5.1 minutes. And in the study setting, Remimazolam arm had a mean time from the end of procedure to return to full alertness of 9.25 minutes. On the safety side, it can be noted that we saw no events that were inconsistent with the good safety profile we had seen in other trials. Notably, there were no serious adverse events or any other side effects that were noted that were in any way different from anything we had seen before. The FDA obviously would only allow studies to go in phase 3 trials that from the safety profile have demonstrated sufficient safety in the previous study, so that we feel very confident that this trial confirmed the good, the well-established safety profile we had before. What I just presented to you is the part of the trial that was required by the FDA and will be part of our submission. What I will now allude to is to a open label arm, not comparative arm to the placebo and remimazolam trial that we also conducted for two reasons. Reason number one, to generate additional safety data. Reason number two, to be able to generate hypotheses, notably in the field of health economics, that would allow us at a later stage to model the efficacy and efficiency of the drug in real-life clinical settings. As I said, these are not apples and apples that can be compared. The first part of my presentation focused on the remimazolam versus placebo side. I now only talk about the midazolam arm that is not comparable to the data before, but that in one way or the other can be put into perspective by looking at results of a study we conducted earlier, a phase 2b study which results have already been published in the context of a medical congress in America in a poster session. This phase 2b trial had as primary objective to assess the feasibility of the feasibility and the safety of maintaining suitable sedation levels within various dosage of remimazolam in combination with fentanyl for patients undergoing colonoscopy in comparison to midazolam in comparison with fentanyl. In other words, we are looking here at a study that we have conducted previously that was still a dose-finding study, of which we had first signals what would intervention times be like comparing remimazolam and midazolam directly. When we take this result of this 2B study and we compare it to the open label arm, or we put it into perspective with the open label arm of our phase 3 trial, then it can be stated that these results are in line with findings from the phase 2B study that was, as mentioned, a comparative study between remimazolam and midazolam in 162 patients, and that these shorter procedure times that we saw in this trial that had a comparison head-to-head seemed to point into the same direction as what we now found out of the open-label midazolam arm. In other words, also the open-label arm midazolam arm allows for their hypothesis to be obviously evaluated in further trial, that indeed remimazolam contributes to shorter procedure times. In summary, we think that these data are exciting for two reasons. Number one, they show that remimazolam is safe and efficacious as compared to placebo with rescue medication. It confirms the safety profile, and we have a signal that is comparable to a signal we saw in a previous trial in the open-label midazolam arm that leads us to believe that we have a drug at hand that is able to enhance the timings of procedures. Looking out, we are now evaluating the full data set, and we will present it at appropriate scientific peer review events during the course later this year or early next year. The open label arm in which midazolam was dosed according to US label will certainly use us to generate further hypotheses with respect to pharma economic models. Or in short, we believe that we are able to present with these top-line data the data set that enables us to submit the required documentation to the FDA and to model the required health economic argument to make remimazolam a suitable alternative for interventionalists in the U.S. And with this, I hand it over to Wolfgang, who will build on the presentation by explaining the U.S. market a little bit more in detail.
So that all the studies in this program have been performed in the U.S. The reason for that is that there's a unique business case in the U.S. colonoscopy setting, specifically if you look at the outpatient segment where most of these procedures are being performed. And if we describe this market, we see that there's a huge push to perform colorectal cancer screening because it's the only measure that really prevents cancer, and therefore there is a huge number of procedures being performed, some 20 million GI procedures, that includes also upper GI procedures, were performed outside the hospital, which is the key focus of our business plan. And if you look at all procedures, because the label will be procedural sedation, there's a total of 43 million procedures per year, because if we get the proposed label, then the labeling will not be procedural sedation in colonoscopy patients. It will encompass all procedural sedation usage. Now, if we look at the specifics of the colonoscopy market, we understand that this is split in two main segments. The one segment is midazolam. The other segment is propofol. Whether or not midazolam and propofol is being used is defined by several things. Number one, the choice of the physician, and number two, by the reimbursement where the procedure is being performed. On the East Coast, it is predominantly propofol because they are all essentially all payers reimburse the additional costs that are coming when you are using propofol. On the western part of the country, it is mostly midazolam because it is looked upon as the cheaper intervention. However, it is less efficient, and that's on the other hand the reason why GI docs like to use propofol, because they can do more procedures in the same period of time. So what are we aiming at? We are aiming at a midazolam-like label with the speed comparable to propofol. Now, there's some changes on the horizon in the reimbursement. We hear that there is a trend to bundling. That means that the insurers offer one fixed payment to the GI clinic to perform procedures, and it is the choice of the proceduralist what kind of sedation he's providing, but that choice will have an impact on the reimbursement. So therefore, we think that with remimazolam, we have a very attractive opportunity to change behavior in the future if the data continue to be promising. So where are we heading? We have achieved the first major milestone with a positive phase 3 trial. And however you look at the data, but I can say I have not seen many studies, again, even against placebo, that had a difference of 91% to 5%. So this is really a very, very strong signal. The next steps are to complete the other two studies of the program, the ASA3-4 trial, which is also in colonoscopy patients, and the patients in the trial in bronchoscopy patients. Then, towards the end of 2017, we assume we are ready to file remimazolam in the U.S., and towards the end of 2018, beginning of 2019, would be approval and launch. So I would like to thank you for your interest in PION and how exciting Remy
Meslam data. I would now like hand back to Ralf.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang and Jürgen, for your presentations. Now we are happy to take your questions and would like to open the Q&A floor.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Dennis Holmey from the Edison Sydney Company. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks very much for taking my call. Congratulations on the great results. My first question is, we see that the success rates are similar but a little bit lower than what we saw in the phase two, and the recovery times a little bit faster. Can you help us understand what the reasons might have been for those differences?
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. Three answers to the question. Question number one is, did we have the same dose in both trials? No. The doses were different. You may recall that in the phase 2B trial, we tried two different dosages. Number two is, keep in mind, what we're talking about is ITT, intention to treat population. This was the case, obviously, in both trials. And some of the differences are driven in that, indeed, by the withdrawal rates after randomization. The second and the third mention is even the co-medication was not identical in the, when it was given. So this may drive some of the differences. Trying to compare the trials in such a way that you get a feel for the dosage used in our trial is also not straightforward because co-medication was not exactly the same. But it is fair to assume that what we see in this trial is very comparable to what we saw in previous trials, namely a very high success rate. The second part of the question, I'm sorry if you could please repeat it so that I don't get it wrong. There was a second part to it.
The second part was that the recovery times at the end of the procedure were quite a bit faster in the phase 3 trial than they were in the phase 2 trial. Is there any particular reason for that?
Yeah, and that's again driven by the different dosage regimens and the different co-medication regimens. So while, and this is why I already alluded to when talking about the phase 2B trial, while the results point in the same direction in many aspects, they are not 100% comparable from trial to trial because of the slightly different dosages used and the slightly different dosage even of co-medication used.
Okay, thank you. And also, when we looked at the phase 2 trial, the remimazolam success rates were much higher than midazolam. Did you see similar sorts of differences in the phase 3 trial?
Well, this phase 3 is a different setting than in this phase 2. The phase 2 was a head-to-head comparison, mm-hmm. where this one is an open-label arm midazolam. So the truth is, in this setting, we cannot make these comparisons, remimazolam versus midazolam. What we can say, if we look at the midazolam arm on its own, that again, with all the caveats I mentioned before, what you will see is in the same area of magnitude in these two trials, always keep in mind that the dosages are not 100% comparable.
Okay, great. And finally, just touching on the bronchoscopy trial, are you able to give any updates on the recruitment rates? Have the measures you've put in place having any impact on recruitment rates in bronchoscopy?
We're currently still putting these measures in place. We're still not happy with the enrollment rates we have. We believe that in the second part of the year, we will be able to give an indication whether or not we really do speed up in the required fashion. We are currently, actually as we speak this week and next week, installing additional trainings on the bronchoscopy trial, and we will certainly be able to give you an update on this in the context of our H2 results.
Thank you very much. That's all questions from me.
So the next question comes from the line of Igor Kim. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello everyone. Also congratulations from my side. Very good results. A couple of questions. The first one is, could you probably remind us what was the time to start the procedure with midazolam and also time to the alertness, just so that we could compare how much of the time is saved with rivemazolam. Then second question is, will this result somehow, in your opinion, influence on your potential negotiation, on your negotiations with the potential partners, or rather not? And the first question, I remember that during the last call, you said that you will try to talk to partners in Russia and in Turkey, also in China and other countries, to make sort of a statement what they're going to do. Do you think that now having the results, headline results from the phase 3 trial, they will do it or probably not? Thank you.
The question needs to be divided in two parts. For the medical side, I can provide an answer. Maybe Wolfgang wants to start with the partnering side. Wolfgang.
Well, yes, positive phase 3 data always have a tendency to improve the prospects of partnering discussions, so we expect to see that same outcome. With respect to our partners, it is not that they are not actively doing something. They just do not want to disclose this at this stage, but also definitely the phase 3 data may have an impact on what they plan specifically with the first indication maybe that they want to bring to the market.
Okay. The medical question focused around the timings of midazolam. The reason why we put in out numbers on the midazolam side is because of our phase 3, 2B study, I'm sorry. We had a direct head-to-head comparison to remimazolam. In this trial, we are still analyzing the data. We will publish the data in a peer-reviewed format, and we will certainly not be in a position to hand out these data before. It would also compromise our ability to publish in a peer-reviewed format. The reason why we chose to give an indication what the timings look like is we use our 2B trial results that are in public domain to give a good feel for what this could roughly look like. And overall, it is fair to say that from these 2B trials, we have reasons to believe that the efficiency gain or the time gained in the course of this procedure from time to procedure and at the end of the procedure from time to procedure or full awake is in the order of magnitude of anything between 6 and 10 minutes, and that we have all reasons to believe that the open label arm that we engaged here will not show any different results. It will point in the same direction.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Simon Scholz from the First Berlin Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. You just mentioned a potential reduction in procedure time of 6 to 10 minutes. Can you remind us or remind me what the current average procedure time in for a procedure with midazolam is?
There is no such number. In clinical trials, you always have a very artificial setting. Or in other words, we are not testing this in a, how should I call it, naturalistic setting. To keep comparisons equal, you will always need to engage in a protocol that prescribes what is done when, and this doesn't happen exactly in the same way in a natural setting. What can probably be safely said is that in a typical procedure conducted in colonoscopy, and it all depends on how this procedure really works out, if it's pure diagnostic, if it's some kind of therapeutic, you will be in timings on the short end, on the 30 minutes range, on the long end, on the 1 hour range. It typically happens between these two extremes. It would even be misleading to even try to mention what average procedure times were for therapeutic and interventional purposes also, because even those are different, but maybe they give you a rough idea what the big range of number is.
Okay, thanks very much. That's very helpful.
Just a reminder, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. Okay, there are no further questions, so I will hand you back to Mr. Penner for any concluding remarks.
Yes, thank you very much. And again, thank you for joining us for PION's call on the U.S. Phase 3 colonoscopy headline data. I hope, of course, that we have been able to answer your questions, but please feel free to give me a call afterwards. If you would like to listen to this call again, please visit our webpage and the replay there will be posted later today. For now, I say goodbye and thank you very much for your continued interest in PION.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your handsets.